So in Genesis 24, and we're going to begin reading again in verse number 61. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. Your version of the Bible might say the well of the God who sees. It might have a reference, a marginal reference, and we'll talk about that. For he dwelt in the south country. Again, your version might have the actual Hebrew word there, which is Negev. That's not a translation. That is simply a transliteration. They brought over the Hebrew word Negev. And it's the name of a region. And if we showed you slides in the first couple weeks that this is a portion of southern Palestine north of the Sinai Peninsula. And Beer Lahairoi is near there. North of there, but near there. In verse 63, Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. He went out to meditate. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. Now you're going to see in weeks to come, when we get to towards the end of the book, that actually is meant to communicate something. You might remember when Jacob is dying and he's waiting on Joseph to return from Egypt. You might remember now that Pharaoh knows that Joseph has family in Palestine, in Canaan. Are you with me? And he says, well, go get them and bring them back. And it says that the brothers went before Joseph and told Jacob about Joseph coming to get him. And it said that he thought that they were lying. You remember that? It said, but when he saw the wagons, his heart was refreshed. So this is that same idea. It's the idea of a blessed hope, okay? An idea of someone coming, and your whole attitude is changed. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you in verse 63 that the word meditate, it's the only time it's used in the whole Old Testament. Now, not the English word meditate, the Hebrew word behind the English word meditate in that verse. It's only used one time in the entire Old Testament. So, of course, since we don't have probably any natural biblical Hebrew speakers here, we want to know what that means. What is the significance of that word? And then, went into the field at eventide and lifted in the camels from verse 64, and Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, and here's some interesting wording, she lighted off the camel. She said unto the servant, what man is this that walks in the field to meet us? Now please notice how this works. 64, she lights off the camel. We'll talk about what that means. And verse 65, for she had said unto the servant, what man is this? So previously, before lighting off the camel, she says, who's this coming in the field? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself, and the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. It's interesting, he's not talking to Abraham about it. Who sent him out on the errand?
Abraham.
Verse 67, Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Alright, there's a few questions we have. Number one, in verse 62, where have we seen this well Lahairoi near the south country before? Yeah. All right, so I hear Hagar. Can we expand on that just a little bit? Well, I think you're giving her a lot of credit. I think that she did go off, and I do think she went off. And I do think that it was... And it might have been that she ended up praying for her son, but I think you're going to find that her son was not yet born. So let's take a look. Let's look at chapter 16. Look at chapter 16. Remember, there are basically two times when Hagar leaves the presence of Abraham. One of them is before Ishmael is born, and the other is after Ishmael and Isaac are born. So right away, we have separated these two exoduses, so to speak, from Abraham by 14 years. Because remember, Abraham is 86 years old when Ishmael was born, and he's how old when Isaac is born? Yep, 100 years old. So about 14 years between the time that she leaves in chapter 16 and leaves in chapter 20. Okay. So chapter 16, verse 14. Wherefore the well was called Beer, or well, Lahairoi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bare Abram a son. So what happened in chapter 16? Well, in verse number 1, we might remember that Sarai says Abraham is supposed to have a son who's going to be the promised seed. And it hasn't happened. It hasn't happened, and it's been a while, and she doesn't know how it's going to happen. We discussed this. There was no revelation to Abraham yet that was explicit in saying, you're going to have a son, and oh, by the way, it has to come through Sarah. There was nothing explicit about that. And so, they're trying to guess, well, how is this going to happen? Because here I am, 77 years old, Sarah's thinking, it's probably not going to be through me. So she offers Hagar to Abraham. You might remember this. All right, so verse 4, Abram went into Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes, and Sarah said to Abram, my wrong be upon you. I have given my maid to your bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes, and the Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said to Sarah, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. So, you might remember, Sarai, end of the verse, deals harshly with her, and she flees. Hagar does. And the angel of the Lord found her, Hagar, by a fountain of water in the wilderness. And then by the end of the chapter, that fountain of water is named Beer Lahairoi, the well of the God who sees. Okay? Because you might remember, in verse 13, she gives God a name. She called the name of the Lord that spoke unto her, Thou God seest me, which in the Hebrew is, anyone have it in their version? Anyone at all? They have a marginal reference or anything? Elroy. Very good. Thank you. Very good. So that's the first place we saw. And then look at chapter 20, this other place. And from the end of chapter 16, we see that this Beer Lahairoi was between Kadesh and Bered. Might remember that. And then in chapter 20 in verse 1, Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country. Now, the south country in the Hebrew is what word? You probably have it in your version of the Bible if you don't have a King James. Negev, right. And so, Abraham journeys from thence toward Negev and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur. So we already remember from chapter 16 that this well Beer Lahairoi is near Kadesh. And so also is Negev. And so now here we are in chapter 24, and we see that in verse number 62, Isaac has come from the way of the well Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. So let's do some simple arithmetic here, if we can. Alright, so Isaac is how old when he is married? Does anyone remember that? Yes, he's 40. 40 years old when he is married. You find that from chapter 25 and verse 20. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife. Well, that's pretty simple. No guesswork there. So how old is Abraham at this point? 140. How old is he when Ishmael is born? And this is before Ishmael is born in chapter 16, yes? So from the time that the well was named, before Ishmael was born, when Abraham was 86, and now he's 140, so at least 54 years have passed since the well was named. And now Isaac is moving. Isn't that just something? How I just love those time markers. I'm kind of a number line guy. I'm kind of a timeline guy in the Bible. I really like it. That and maps. They're kind of my friends. Helps me put perspective and keep things in order. And kind of spatial order, chronological order, really helps me. So now we see from verse 62, Isaac came from the way of the well, and for he dwelt in the south country. Now what I don't want to get hung up in is the translation of prepositions. Because if you compare two or three versions of the Bible, you'd be like, well, is that well in Negev, or did he come from Negev, and now he's by the well? Just get the idea, he is in that region, okay? And 54 years have passed. All right. In chapter 23, where was Abraham and his family? What verse are you looking at for that? Oh boy. Say it again. What verse do you see that in? Yeah, usually the verses are numbered the same. What, chapter 23, what verse?
Verse 2.
So they are in Hebron. And he stands before the Hittites, or the sons of Heth. And in verse number 9, you see that in Hebron, he purchases a cave of Machpelah in which to bury his wife, Sarah. Sarah dies at 127 years old. Only woman in the Bible whose age is mentioned at death. And so now they've gone from Hebron, and now, as a family at least, they're back down in Beer Lahairoi. Hebron is far, far north of Beer Lahairoi. So, this is not a mystery to us. I don't think there's any deep message here. They're what? They're travelers. What kind?
Nomads.
Yeah, they're nomads. They have flocks. They're feeding them and getting them around to green pastures and that kind of thing. So, all right. So let's look at verse number 63. Isaac went out to meditate. Isaac went out to meditate. Now, I have looked left and right, up and down. I've checked so many possible meanings of this word. Some say it means simply to stroll. As a matter of fact, if you have an NASB, it says probably in the margin, stroll as another possibility. So, I mean, if that was the case, Isaac went out to stroll in the field. Well, that's possible. I mean, we do from time to time when we can get away, go sit in a gazebo, go walk by a lake, whatever. But I just wonder if that's what it's getting at here. And then I read in Peter Lane's commentary that it could be translated as mourning. He went out to mourn. Well, that's interesting. Isaac went out to mourn in the field at evening tide. Contextually, why would that make sense?
Well, at the end of the chapter, it says,
say it again, Thomas.
At the end of the chapter, he's comforted when he finally takes Rebecca.
Okay, thank you. Verse 67. Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebecca, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death.
I would say it's probable last time Abraham's not doing so well. Based on the fact that Abraham sent him out on the journey, he came back, he doesn't report to Abraham, he's reporting to Isaac.
So maybe the whole family's still mourning.
You know, Abraham's probably, you know, in his dotage.
Dotage.
Yeah.
Hang on, let me get my dictionary app out of here. I hope I'm not repeating a word I'm going to regret repeating here. Yes.
I don't think Abraham's probably mourning, but in the next chapter we see that he married.
Yes, yes, we'll get right. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. That's a good point. By the way, I wanted to mention that Thomas and Randy have been married for 1 year today. So the Crosbys. Wave at everyone. So everyone gets it. Yeah. That is awesome. Huh? Did you say happily married? Are you trying to be funny?
No.
All right. Okay. Aren't you still happily married? We know the right answer here. Right? Okay. There's only one right answer. All right. So how long has Sarah been dead? On behalf of your things. Say it again.
3 years.
About 3 years. And we know that. We know that. How?
She died at 127, which would make her about 37 at that point for Isaac.
Okay. Very good. Isaac was married at 40 years old. Isaac was born when Sarah was about 91. So all of a sudden you realize that if you had 40 to 91, you have 131. She didn't live to be 131. She lived to be 127. So she's been dead about 3 or 4 years by the time this comes along. And she meant so much to the family. Apparently Isaac is still mourning over his mother's departure. And you get to the end of the chapter, in chapter 50, you find out that all of Egypt mourns for 70 days for the father of the second in command of the nation, Joseph. Isn't that amazing? So 70 days, an entire nation mourns for the father of one of their presidents. So it's not out of the ordinary here that you have Isaac mourning 3 years plus after his mother's death. And the only thing that comforted him from the passage is that he had a wife. There's just a ton of application there. one of the points of application is that you're... All right. One of the points of application we should probably talk about is that eventually, for a man, in some and many ways, now I know this is going to start a fight on both sides of the aisle, no matter where you sit on this, but your wife should replace your mother in many regards. So, I know... So anyway. Some men never do realize that the maternal role of mom is supposed to change when they get married, and really, anyways. I mean, it's delicate. I'm telling you, I would like to think I'm close to my mother. However, things are supposed to change in that relationship when I grow up and have a family of my own. Okay, thank you. By the way, Isaac's 40. It's time. It's time. Okay. Alright. Now let's talk about the whole camel dismount thing, alright? Look at verse number 64. Alright, moving on. Verse 64. I just wanted to point out he quit mourning when he got married. Alright? Verse 64. Didn't start mourning when he got married. Wow. Alright, I should have brought my galoshes. Alright, so verse 64. Rebecca lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. Now, I wanted to just point out, I can't show you on the screen because I couldn't even load my slides onto this computer, but let me just name some references to you and then tell you a fact about them. Alright, here we go. Genesis 17:3, 17:17, 25:18, 33:4, 43:18, 44:14, 45:14, 46:29, 49:17, 51. Okay, you get the idea. In all of those passages, it's not translated lighted off. It's translated fell. Okay. Everything I just named it. This is the only time it is translated as lighted off. I don't know if they're trying to paint a better picture of how to properly dismount a camel. But apparently Rebecca did not know how. Alright? Because if we were to uniformly translate this through Genesis, she saw the man and fell off her camel.
So if you drive, don't fall off the camel.
Right.
You're light up.
Yes. Well, probably, yeah, that's right. Right. Alright, so let's get the chronology here. Because verse 65 gives us the idea that before she fell off her camel, she asked who the man coming in the field was. Alright? For she had said to the servant, "What man is it that walks in the field to meet us?" And the servant said, "It's my master." Which she translated, no doubt, as "my husband." This is the dude you get. You already made a vow back there in your brother's tent, remember? Will you go with him? I will. Alright, that was your vow. You never even met the dude. And you vowed to be his wife. And then she's showing up and thinking, "Oh boy, what have I done, maybe?" And she sees him coming in the field. Now think this through with me. She's off the distance, she sees a man walking.
He was such a specimen.
Such a specimen, maybe V-shaped. So, waving off several crumps from the back of the room. So, we have this idea where she sees this man coming. And, you know, think of this through now. Isaac just got done saying, or excuse me, the servant of Abraham just got done describing what Isaac has to Rebecca, her brother, and her parents. Do you remember? All that Abraham has. Multitudes of flocks. Servants everywhere. They're all my master's son. They're all his. So she knows right away. She's not marrying down. Okay? Her dad, her brother, they might be wealthy. But it's nothing compared to if those 10 camels and all the stuff that's on them is any indication of what I'm marrying into, this is a good deal. And so she says, "Sure, I'll go." knows what she thought she was going to see. But whatever it was, it caused her to misstep the dismount. So anyway, do with that whatever you want. Because that first word of verse 65 is important. It is a word of explanation. For. In other words, this was caused by. What in the world caused this quick departure from the beast she was riding? The fact that she was going to meet her husband. And it covered her. It caused her to cover herself. She took a veil, end of verse 65, and covered herself. Apparently, it was a cultural thing that until you consummate the union, you cover everything except the eyes. And we see this later on when Jacob marries someone, and in the morning it says, behold, it was Leah. It wasn't supposed to be Leah. That's what it says. He thought he was marrying Rachel. And it says, but in the morning, behold, it was Leah. That's an interesting drama. I love it. So, verse 25. For she had said to the servant, what man is this? And the servant says, it is my master. Now, does anybody see anything strange about this? It is my master? And clearly, the servant is talking about Isaac.
Yeah, but Abraham is his master.
Yeah, what's going on here? For the whole chapter, there's been but one master described. Let me help us in our search. Look at verse 9. Chapter 24. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master. Look at verse 10. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master. Look at verse 12. And he said, O Lord God of my master, Abraham. Verse 14. Look at the end of the verse. I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. Verse 27. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master, Abraham. Verse 35. And the Lord blessed my master greatly and has become great and has given him flocks and herds, silver, gold, men servants, maid servants, and so on. Verse 36. And Sarah, my master's wife. It's very clear. His master in that is Abraham. It's even clearer in the next phrase that Isaac is the son of the master. Right? You see that? Verse 37. And my master made me swear. Verse 39, and I said unto my master, verse 42, and I came to stand under the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham. End of the verse 44, who is Isaac? Master's son. Verse 48, and I bowed down my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham. 49, and now if you will deal kindly and truly with my master. Remember, so far contextually, Abraham's the master, Isaac's the master's son. Verse 51, behold, Rebekah's before thee, take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife. Verse 54, end of the verse, send me away to my master. Verse 56, and he said unto him, hinder me not, seeing the Lord has prospered me, send me that I may go to my master. Now all of a sudden, his master's not Abraham, and Isaac is no longer the master's son. In verse 65, we have Isaac being the master. Now, as Millie already pointed out, we see from the next chapter that Abraham dies at verse 7, 103 and 15 years. That's 175. How old is he when Rebekah comes back to Isaac? 140. He lives 35 more years. Now think through that with me. That means that in the next 10 verses or so, we have 35 years occur, or at least it ends with the assumption that 35 years have occurred since the end of chapter 24. Well, that is interesting. Presumably, I might point out to you in verse 1, Abraham took a wife. Apparently, he got over his mourning. And her name was Keturah. And she bare him Zimran, and Jokshan, and Medan, and Midian, and Ishbak, and Yeshua. Remember the key to this. I've told you, read fast. And Jokshan begat Sheba and Dedan, and the names of Dedan were Asherim and Letushim and Lemamim, and the sons of Midian, Ephah and Epher and Hanak, and okay, so on. Ibidah and Eldaah, and all these were children of Keturah. So Keturah did not have the same issues having children that Sarah did. And by the way, apparently Abraham was still able to do his part. During Walter's lesson a few weeks ago, he described the mileage, the 10 camels. The journey took no less than 30 days getting to Haran. And then if you consider the fact that there are probably more going back than there were coming, because we find out from later in chapter 24 that Rebecca was given the nurse and damsels. They probably all had their stuff. Oh my goodness, is it? And so probably we're not dealing with 10 camels. We're dealing with many camels. Probably, if you think about Rebecca, damsels, and everything they own, like a barge being drugged behind a camel. All right, it's probably not. So many, many camels. So 40 or 50 maybe? No doubt at least double. 20 camels. And that's being really conservative.
So Sarah's past, the messenger leaves, and they're not in their culture now where Abraham's too old to run the farm. He says, Isaac, as soon as you have a wife, you are now a master of all this.
That's a good point. Everyone here on the air, are you guys selling funnel cakes? Over here, we have something like a car for a minute. So over here, he said that it sounds like that maybe there was this idea that Abraham said, hey, as soon as you have a wife, you're ready to run the family and everything the family has. You remember what Abraham had at the beginning of this story? Over 300 armed servants. And if they had families, we're talking possibly over 1,000 people. And that, friends, was 100 years before he dies. It's, 25 plus 40, 65 years before today's story. So you can get a lot more stuff in 65 years, can't you? Especially when you're, you know, pilfering Abimelech and Pharaoh. Stuff like that. Huh?
The animals will produce too. I mean,
yeah, I think that's true. Yeah. I think she's right. I think you animals do reproduce. So there's probably more animals too.
Known everywhere he went. I mean, this was the, she was married into the
right
gates of the ancient.
Sure. You're right. And there is room for lots of guessing here, but what we don't see is that there's a forerunner getting Isaac out to the field. We don't see that. There might be room in the text to say, hey, they're coming, maybe, but we don't see that. But it does seem culturally fitting that there was an understanding that this is the head of the house once he has a wife and marriage. Because remember now, Isaac is to be the replacement for Abraham. How many times in the conversation of chapter 24 does it say, and everything my master has is given to his son? Right? So Isaac is clearly the replacement for Abraham, and they just need a replacement for Sarah now. Because remember, the promised seed comes from Isaac and his wife. So I think that's a great insight. So let's look at verse number 6. And unto the sons, I read all of the sons of Keturah and Abraham, but look at verse 5. Abraham gave all that he had, there's one more time, to Isaac. And unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had. So apparently, my dear friends, it was more than Sarah and Keturah. Apparently Abraham was busy. Yes. He is now the patriarch emeritus, and he has plenty of time on his hands, okay? He has the sons of the concubines which Abraham had. Abraham had concubines. Now, those are not relatives of porcupines. Those are live-ins. Those, culturally or not, they are common lawers, so to speak. And this is not a proof text for why a man should have many women in his life. The fact is, this is a proof text of how God blesses people despite, in some cases, their ignorance, and in many cases, their shortcomings and sins. Verse 6, unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son. So here clearly, Abraham favors his son Isaac. Get over it. See, I wish he wouldn't. Oh well. While he yet lived, he sent them away, eastward, unto the east country. All right, so get this now. Abraham came from east, didn't he? He came from the Ur of the Chaldees. He came from over here in Baghdadlia, okay, over here somewhere. He is over in Palestine. He sends them back east. Is that where he sent the servant to get Isaac's bride? No. He sent them. Remember, they started in Ur of the Chaldees. Okay? Don't make me do a Middle Eastern map on you over here. It won't work. All right. So here, Ur of the Chaldees. Presumably somewhere between the Tigris. No, Euphrates is east. The Tigris and the Euphrates. All right? They journey up in here to the place where Haran is, known, Jim, as today. Come on, help me out. Okay, thank you. Present-day Turkey, you would have Haran. You might remember, this is where someone in Abraham's life dies. Who is it?
His dad.
His dad, Haran. Yes, we won't say Terah. We're going to preserve his integrity and his dignity, okay? So, his dad dies in Haran, okay? So, lots of family, presumably, stay put in Haran as they journey down here into the Promised Land. So, Abraham, at the age of 140, give or take a few months, sends Eliezer up to Haran to get a wife for Isaac. But later on in life, he sends the sons of his concubines to include Ishmael east. Go away. East. So he gives all that he has to Isaac, but he still gives gifts, verse number 6, to the sons of his concubines. All right. Verse 7, these are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived 115 years, and Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age. An old man, full of years. By the way, that word full of years, you might have it in a margin or something. It means he was fully satisfied. Settled and satisfied. Abraham gave up the ghost, died in good old age, an old man satisfied, and was gathered to his people. Now, what does that mean? Gathered to his people. Well, look at the next verse. His sons, Isaac and Ishmael, buried him in the cave of Machpelah, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite, which is before Mamre. Who was already buried there? That's right.
So did Ishmael come back?
Great question. Ishmael is now back. Are you saying is he back since verse 6, or are you saying is he back since he was sent away after Isaac's birth? Which one? That's the question. I don't see Ishmael necessarily returning before the death of his father. But it's very clear that he did return at the death of his father. In verse 10, the field which Abraham purchased, the sons of Heth, where Abraham is buried, and Sarah, his wife. Now, Abraham... Yes?
Do you think Isaac might have sent word to him?
I think so. Let's talk about that. Ishmael was sent away in chapter 20, in verse number 1-ish. Let's see here. No, I think I'm wrong. Chapter 21. Yes, verse 9. Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Now, how old is Isaac when this boy is mocking him? Maybe verse 4 will tell us. Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Does anyone see a better answer? Okay, so you're saying how old Hagar is at this point. Hagar was born when Abraham was 86. Isaac is 8 days old, probably when Abraham was 100. So Ishmael is 14 when he's sent away. 14 when he's sent away. We haven't seen him since then. He's 14. Abraham is 100. 75 years have passed. Abraham dies at 175, and we see Ishmael starting to take part in Abraham's life. Now, could he have been back between those two times? Sure. We just have no record of it. But what we do see, according to biblical record, is we haven't seen Hagar since he's 14. 75 years have passed. Thank you. We haven't seen Hagar either, though. All right. We haven't seen it, but if she had a 14-year-old son, she probably wasn't 14. All right, so good point. All right, so last time we saw Ishmael, he was 14 years old. 75 years have passed, so he is now 89 years old, burying his dad. Now think about that. If stones could talk, right? The last time we saw this boy, he was 14. He's now 89 years old, and he's back helping Isaac bury their father. And then the verses to follow, I won't read them because we mentioned them in our lesson on Ishmael. It points out in the verses to follow in verse 12, these are the generations of Ishmael. And it goes into his 12 sons.
Okay.
I don't get that picture.
Now that the father's dead, I just not continue taking
I don't know. I don't see, probably there's some cultural nuance that I haven't been privy to yet, but I don't see any indication that Abraham has been gifting his son Ishmael for the last 75 years. He sent them away, presumably, with some stuff that says he did. But certainly that wouldn't have been much, I don't think. Maybe, who knows? He seems to have been generous. Any questions? Let's pray.